Some of you may have seen that this week the Prime Minister of New Zealand stepped down. And if you're not up on the latest politics in New Zealand, don't feel bad. But so the Prime Minister of New Zealand, a woman named Jacinda Ardern, she was very, very popular. The people in New Zealand loved her. She was at the height of her career. She was reelected. I mean, very, very popular. And she decided this week, she said, you know what? I'm done. No mas. I'm done. And of course, everybody was like, why? I mean, they love this woman. And she said, in a word, burnout. She said, I'm burned out. To switch gears. So I'm going to step back from my career for a bit and focus on my marriage and my family and just kind of downshift a little bit. She said, I'm burned out. This past October, the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., they did the largest survey that's ever been done in Catholic priests and bishops in this country. Biggest survey. It's a meta-study, they call it. And they interviewed all these priests from around the country, many from our diocese and other dioceses, and they asked one question. This is what they said. Are you happy being priests? Are you actually happy as a priest? And I'm happy to respond that the job satisfaction for Catholic priests is about 90%. Okay? Just so you know, average American job satisfaction is 42%. So we are more than double most Americans. Saying. Okay? Yay, priests. All right? However, here's the bad news. If a guy is going to leave the priesthood, it's almost never, contrary to popular belief, it's almost never to get married. If he's going to leave the priesthood, this is why he leaves. Burnout. Burnout. It's a good problem to have in the sense that the Catholicism, the latest data, again, that came out this week, shows that Catholicism is not growing in the United States. It's exploding in the United States, especially in the southern states. Literally, it's like this, okay? And many people who leave the faith will eventually come back to the faith, the data shows. They always leave that out. And that's a good thing. That's an awesome thing. Here's the thing. We don't have enough priests. So what happens with the priests we have? They work until at a certain point they're like, you know what? I'm tired, man. Dude, I'm tired. Burn out. They begin to believe I'm the pope of my own parish. It's real easy for this thinking to fall in the brain. I've seen it with priests, okay? Where we think it's my job to fix everything. I'm the fixer. Father, fix a lot. Fix it, Father. Right? You ever feel that way in your family? It's my job to fix my kids' problems. Okay, I know they're 35. But it's my job. If I don't do it, Father, who's going to do it? Somebody's got to step up. Maybe nobody needs to do it. Maybe your kid needs to fall. Maybe that'd be the best thing for him, yeah? You're a grown man, son. I love you. You got to figure it out, brother. Probably time at 35, right? Here's my point with all of this. Do you ever feel burned out? You ever feel like you're sipping from a fire hydrant? If you don't remember anything of what I'm telling you this morning, maybe something to walk away with. An old principle in the spiritual life says you can't give what you don't what? In Latin, those of you who took Latin in 1812, nemo dat non quam habet, says the Catholic Church. Nemo dat non quam habet. You can't give what you don't have. No es posible dar algo que no tienes. You can't give something that you don't have. Or as St. Bernard of Clairvaux was fond of saying, before we can be rivers, we must be estuaries. What does that mean? It means if you're giving and giving and giving and giving without receiving, eventually you're gonna run dry. Comes down to this. There is one Messiah, and it is not you. Thanks be to God. Okay? All right, we wouldn't get too far if I was a Messiah. But we, for each one of us, it's important to remember, because we kind of feel that way, like it's my job to fix. And there's some things we can do, but actually the truth is, folks, we can actually make it worse. We can actually make it worse. In other words, we can cripple another person emotionally by trying to fix. Did you know, I saw this study recently. Those of you that have children or grandchildren, do you know that, I didn't know this, talk about experiences priests never have. Did you know that the average American parent spends over 20 days a year in the drop-off pickup line? Wow, that's almost a month a year sitting in a car. I mean, and those of you that know this, you know that there's some rules that you have to follow, right? If you're in the drop-off pickup line. Okay, don't cut in line, don't double park. Your kid's got to be ready to get out of the car when you pull up. And unless you're in labor in your car, don't speed. Okay? One mother told me she was going to install in her car an eject button for her kid. She pushed the button, he goes shooting out of the top. But, I mean, talk about burnout, right? There's something that'll burn you out. You spend almost a month, a year, in the drop-off pickup line? I mean, this should be part of seminary training, I think, for seminarians, right? But we each have things that we're really struggling with that can burn you out. There is what we call the spirituality of imperfection. What is the spirituality of imperfection? It says that we grow in perfection by the acceptance of our imperfection. It's not by dotting all the I's and crossing the T's and fixing. We grow in perfection by the acceptance of our imperfection, or as St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 says, in our weakness there is strength. And I'm content with my weakness, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I don't have to fix it all, and I can't. Are you burned out? Are you getting there? Are you flirting with it? And better yet, let me just ask, if I was going to ask you, do you feel like your spouse is burning out? Because sometimes it's not just being aware of us, it's being aware of how much that person's doing. Honey, you know, I love you, babe, but you look tired. You kind of look pooped. You know what? Let's do this. I got the kids. This weekend, go to Hot Springs with your friends and just get out of town. No, I can't do that. Honey, go. For the love of God, go. We need it. Okay? Like being attuned to that person, not just me and everything I got to do. All right? We got to do that. You know, Jesus so often in the Gospels, he sends the 72 out, and they're doing these amazing things, right? I mean, they're curing, they're driving out demons, they're doing all this stuff, and they come back. And they're kind of, if you pardon the expression, at the height of their career. And right at the height of their popularity, what does Jesus do? Stop. Gentlemen, come on. Where are we going? What do you mean? Come on. Let's go away to a deserted place for a while and pray. Just take a deep breath. Because he understands, right? That you can't give what you don't have. And when they've rejuiced spiritually, he's like, attack. Oh, and by the way, you're going to die. It's going to be horrible. Okay? Which they all did. But this is us. You can't give what you don't have. Namon dat nun quan habat. For each one of us, we need to, I believe, grow into this spirituality of imperfection. I don't have to fix it. And furthermore, that's okay. Do our best, leave the rest. I'll close with this. So some of you may recall that 2008 in this country was a very, very difficult year. Kind of going back a little bit. So if you want to do a little review of what happened in this country in 2008, that was the year of Bernard Madoff. That was also the year, if you recall, that the banks in this country had millions, they had literally well over $1 trillion in worthless subprime mortgages. I'm not talking billion, I'm talking trillion. There's over $1 trillion in worthless subprime mortgages. They didn't know what to do with it. It was trash, okay? In addition to that, people were getting laid off. The market collapsed. Bear Stearns Bank folded. J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon took it over. By the way, in addition to that, Lehman Brothers declared bankruptcy. That's the largest bankruptcy in United States history. It was a horrible mess, 2008. It was horrible. And into this mess walked a man named Hank Paulson. At the time, Hank Paulson was the Treasury Secretary for President George Bush. And he was working with Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner. So he walks into this thing, and later Hank Paulson, who's a smart guy, he's a Harvard MBA, he walked into this and he said it was a complete and total train wreck. He was getting called every single night from people all over the world, from banks, from countries, from leaders, from the president, all night. So this went on. And Hank Paulson was not a young man. But at a certain point, this kept happening. He wasn't sleeping. He had no time for his family. And you know, he later said that the best decision that he ever made was to turn his phone off at night and give them all boundaries. So, you know, they can wait. I'll figure it out later. He said, that's the best decision I ever made. And thanks be to God, we kind of got through it. And I know there's people that would disagree with me, but that's fine. I think one of the most unsung heroes in United States history is Hank Paulson. Humble man. There's one economist I was speaking to last year, and this is what he said. He said, Father Ben, we will never know. Americans will never know how very close they came in 2008 to another Great Depression. And he said, it would have been far worse than the first one. Why did we avoid this? I believe for men like Hank Paulson. But there's a lesson from his example, and that's this. You can't give what you don't what? If you're like me, you think I'm the exception to that rule. That's only for other people. Like other people need to give boundaries, but I got to do this, 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 and this. No, you don't. It's okay to say no. You know, as a priest, people ask me to do things. They're not asking me to do things I don't want to do. They ask me to do stuff I want to do. It's not like they're saying, Father, will you donate a liver today? Like, it's all stuff I want to do. So I have to say no to more things than I say yes to. But when I say yes to what I say yes to, all in, man. Let's rock it. Can't give what you don't have.